All right, guys. Hey, we are going to go ahead and get started. Good morning. My name is Wes Butler, and I have the privilege of serving on staff here as the Director of Family Ministry at the Dallas campus. So I love getting to be in this room with a bunch of men who we're all just here going, man, Lord, will you help us to be a better dad? And I hope that this morning will be helpful towards that end. Hey, if you came in this morning and you didn't get a name tag, that means I don't know that you're here, and I love to send you resources afterwards through email, and the only way I can do that is if you are signed in. So if you didn't sign in and get a name tag, if you want to do that real quick before the kiosk closed down, that'd be great. Otherwise, you should be good to go. So hey, a couple of announcements. First of all, this is our last Dad U of the 2018-19 school year, so we'll take a little break for the summer and be back in September for Dad U. We would love to hear just feedback from you. So in the next couple of weeks, you should be getting an email with just kind of a survey and evaluation just to help us. We want to continue to serve you guys as best that we can. And we'd love to hear your feedback and thoughts from whether you came today is your only time to ever be at Dad U, or whether you've been here every time, just to help us to continue to serve the dads that come to Dad U. So that'll be coming in your inbox soon. Also, there's tons of resources that we want to make available to you, and one of the resources we're trying to pour a lot of energy into is our podcast. So Watermark Family Podcast now is a thing that we're trying to not just post content from Dad U and the Nest for Moms, but also conversations that we're having in our podcast studio. And so this last month, so if you were at Dad U last month, you heard Jim Wimberly talk about prayer. And we just took some time in a podcast to talk with Jay and Jenny Burns, who have led our prodigal ministry here at Watermark for years and walked hundreds of families through just difficult seasons in that way, and just talked with them about, man, what does it look like to pray for rebellious and prodigal children? And it was a great conversation, and one that I think will help you and equip you to whether that's your situation now or might be in the future, or whether you're just walking alongside of someone in your community group through that time. So just know that that resource is there, and it's something that will continue to get content added to it throughout this the summer. And so if you are a podcast listener, subscribe there and you'll get that content. So I'm really excited for what we're going to get to talk about this morning. So my friend Bron Brown is going to come and share with us. Bron and I have gotten the privilege of serving together on staff for me 15 years. Bron's been here almost 20 at this point. And so Bron has become a really good friend, and now he's my boss, which I don't know what that means, but around here. But I love Bron. And the conversation that I asked him to just kind of share with you, or the content that I asked him to share with you, is really just conversations that Bron and I have had for several years now, just talking about what does it look like when we are comparing ourselves, and what are the detriments of that. And so it's something that I think I have personally wrestled with, I know Bron has, and I've learned a ton from those conversations with him, and so I wanted to share that with you. So Bron and his wife Angie, I think we've got a picture, Joe, have been married for 25 years, is that right? Crazy. You'll hear a little bit more about that, I think, here in a minute, but been married for 25 years, and they've got three boys, so Braden, Cooper, and Easton, and so you'll get to hear more about his family. But I'd love just to pray for us, and then we'll welcome Bron up, okay? So, Father, we thank you for time to be in this room this morning and to be encouraged and equipped. Lord, I pray that you would use this time today to really encourage our hearts, to strengthen our hearts. And Lord, that you would use Bron, you'd use the panel as we talk a little bit later. Lord, just the time around the tables and just fellowship with other dads to strengthen our hearts. Father, I don't know every heart in this room, but I thank you, God, that you do. And Lord, you know that there are hearts in here who are weary and who are tired, maybe discouraged. You know that there are hearts in here who are full of enthusiasm and joy and excitement about the journey, and you've got people everywhere in between. And so, Lord, I pray that your spirit would meet them wherever they are this morning. And Lord, that you would take the words that are spoken, and specifically the words from your word, to inform our hearts and to set us on a path of righteousness that will be a blessing to our families. So thank you for these men, for their willingness to get up early, and I pray that you would encourage us through Bron now. In Christ's name, amen. All right, buddy.
All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. I am super excited to get to hang with you guys this morning. I love seeing dads get up early and want to be a better dad and want to be a more fully devoted follower of Christ. There's nothing that has been as humbling as being a dad for me. There's no question about it. The most sanctifying thing that God has done in my life is being a parent. And I want to give a couple of confessions to you guys that we love authenticity around here at Watermark. And so I want to confess a few things to you that so you guys get to know me a little better. I need to tell you that I've never taken my kids to Disney World. Okay. And I know some of you guys are going, I'm not listening to another world. It's the Magic Kingdom. Everybody needs to take their kids to Disney World. If you haven't done that, that's a parenting mistake. Okay, so that's one. Second, I've never backpacked through Europe. I haven't taken my kids over there. We haven't done that. We found out the gender of our kids before they were born, and we didn't have blues and pinks involved. We didn't have any party for that. So I want you to know that there's another miss for me. We didn't do that. On my wife and I's 25th anniversary, I said, hey, babe, where do you want to go eat? And she said, Olive Garden, okay? And I went, that's why I married you. It's right there. So we're going to eat those breadsticks till we're sick. And I just remember thinking, I was like, that's a good woman right there. And here's the thing I want to tell you. We actually liked it. We actually like Olive Garden, okay? And so, and then the last thing is I really do believe that Arby's has the meats. I don't know if y'all believe that with me. One of the guys on our staff has never eaten at Arby's, and I was like, it figures, man. You gotta live a little bit. It's real roast beef, I promise. Hey, having some fun with things that I'd confess to you guys, but here's some real stuff too about me. I can tend to work my kids' accomplishments into unrelated conversations. You ever done that? Talking with somebody about something, all of a sudden you want to drop a little bit about your kid in there, how many points he scored in the game, just happened to come into some conversation about the Bible. You know, you slip that in. Sometimes, if I'm really honest, I don't want other kids, even my kids' friends, to succeed because I want my kid to have the glory. I'm just being real with you guys. I'll go to awards banquet, and if I leave there and my kid didn't get anything, I'm like, man, what's the deal? They not know about Coop? He's a great kid. And so I realized that comparison thing has been a thief of my joy for many years if I don't stay in the battle with it. Another admission, I've lost sleep over bad basketball games. Okay, I've stayed up at night thinking about how this could have been better. I wish my son would have done this. And it's just ridiculous the amount of time and energy and affection I've put towards things that don't really matter. And so what I want to challenge you with, some of you guys who are looking down the road with kids or you're in the middle of it right now, here's what I think. Increasingly, the culture around us is setting the standard by which we think we are okay or not okay. We look around and we go, man, am I okay? Is my kid doing well at this? Does my kid have these grades? Did he score these points? Did he make this team? And we've begun to put value on things. And I think this is causing many of us to be discontent, maybe in debt, distracted. And so as I've thought about this morning, what I want to encourage you with is three things that I think you can do battle against this comparison trap. There's an old saying that comparison is the thief of joy. And I think that's true. And so we've got to remind ourselves of what is true. And so I'm going to give you three R's to think through. And these are going to encompass a lot of different ideas. And I want you to think of these three principles. And I want you to think about where this might relate to you. So the first R is this: remind yourself where contentment comes from. Psalm 16:1-4. I'm going to read that to us. It says, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. And I will tell you that here's what's so apparent in my life, and I think maybe apparent in your life at times, is that we get caught up in the world's idols. There's so many things out there that we think make our kids or our family successful. And those can be, instead of living this life of saying, hey, apart from you, Lord, I have no good thing, we're chasing all these other things that really don't matter. And we've got to remind ourselves where contentment comes from. Years ago, every year my family will think of a theme for our school year. And years ago, our theme was Remember the Secret. And the idea there comes from Philippians 4, 11 through 13. But in 12, what Paul says is, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance. In times of plenty or in times of want, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, if you're a sports guy, you when I grew up, I had a poster of the guy scoring the basket that said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. We didn't talk about verse 12, which is really what it's connected to. It's like, I can score 20 points a game through Christ, which gives me strength. It's kind of that deal. And what the secret there that Paul talks about is it's through Christ. It's a relationship with him. And so what I was trying to teach my kids and teach myself at the same time was that if things don't go your way, if things aren't going great, it's okay, because the secret of contentment is not about how many points you score or what grades you get or if you have that friend. It is walking with Jesus. And we get a chance to model that for our kids. And so the reason we had Remember the Secret was as much for me. And so my question for you right now, are you remembering the secret when it comes to leading your family? Because there are things all around you teed up to look over here and see that and look over there and go, man, if we had that or if we did. And the reason I tease about Disney World is because I felt pressure to do that, because that's what every good dad does, because that's in the Bible. No, but aren't we drawn? Isn't that part of what we get influenced by is what we see around us? And we start making that the standard rather than his word. So I remember sitting on a beach in Costa Rica. My wife and I actually won a trip, and we were there, and I was sitting there, and I was sitting on that beach, and I'm looking over the ocean. I go, man, Lord, it doesn't get much better than this. This is amazing. Here comes a guy with skewers of fruit, you know, and I'm like eating that fruit, and I'm looking over the ocean. I'm like, this is amazing. And I remember just the Lord kind of laying this thought in my mind. I just prayed. I said, Lord, will you help me never to love this more than I love you? Just this. And so here's what I want to ask you. So for me, it was that vacation. It was that moment in time. It was that beach looking over the ocean. And for you, what I want to ask you is, what is the thing for your kids that's kind of your beach, the thing that you might be tempted to love more than you love the Lord? If they could just have this success, if they would be good at this, or they would be a standout here, then I'll love that, Lord, maybe even more than I love you. And the way you might ask yourself if that's true is think about the time, investment, affection, money that you spend for them to be that, whatever that is, that thing is for you. And so we have to be able to confess that to the Lord, that, hey, sometimes, Lord, I want their accomplishments, their accolades, their grades, all those things to be, that's my beach. And I love that. I love the feeling that that gives me. I love the way it reflects me as a dad. If my kids are successful, if we're really honest, we want them to be successful a lot of times because the way we think it reflects on us. And I just have to confess that to the Lord, and I have to be in the battle with that. And so one of the ways you can do battle against this is to remind yourself where contentment comes from. The second R is this. You ought to recognize the lure. Okay, there is a lure around you, all around you. And Proverbs 14:30 says, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. I love that. I love that visual, that my bones rot. When I'm envying what other people have, when I'm looking around, and here's what I'm going to encourage you, man. You need to be watchful here. You got to be, the scripture talks a lot about being watchful, about being sober-minded, about being on the alert, standing firm, resisting the devil. I think this is an area that we've got to be watchful, because we are being told, we're being sold a bill of goods that if my kids have this, this, and this, then they will be a success, that's where life comes from. And we're actually preaching a message to them on the things that we're investing in and the time we spend there. So here's my question. Where are you comparing to others and that's taken away your joy? That's a great question to ask. Is it from the Lord? Is the Lord convicting you about something? Are you sitting with him and he's going, man, Bron, I really want your kid to be a starter on that team, man. That's what I'm most concerned about. And so you have to ask yourself some of those questions. I would encourage you to run from those things. Run to Christ. Can you think about this? Here's a funny thing about social media. Can you imagine if before social media was really popular, if you went over to your friend's house and every time you went over there, he goes, hey, I want you to come over. I'm getting out my scrapbook. Okay, we're getting out our scrapbook. We're going to look at all our pictures. I'm going to show you all the pictures of our vacation. It was amazing. You should see. Here's all, and you just sat there. You would be bored to tears. Okay, can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine inviting a friend over? Hey, we're just going to come over, and tonight what we're going to do is we're just going to look at all our scrapbooks and show you all the pictures of our fun vacations. Wouldn't that be fun for you? Isn't that what social media is? It's a big scrapbook. And we're inviting everybody to go, hey, look at my picture here. Look at this. And hey, we never fight. We're always smiling. All the pictures are great. You know, you guys know all the family pictures. There's the 20 that were terrible and there's the one that you caught. That's kind of how life is, really. And so this idea that what happens now is all that's teed up. Everybody's scrapbooks are open for us to see, and it can be a real place for us to find ourselves envious or jealous or begin to think, oh, man, I'm not okay because I see how great things are for them, and I want that. And I just think what I would encourage you with is that verse again, that when we run after another God, when we talked about earlier, sorrows multiply, when we envy, it makes our bones rot. And so one of the things I might encourage you to do, some of you guys, that might be a real issue for you. It can be for me. Sometimes I'll just take a fast from social media. I'll go, you know what? I'm going to get off there for a while. I see guys doing that. Hey, I'm going to be off for a couple months. That might be a really good thing. If that's causing you to be discontent, and maybe you take some of that time that you had spent on your phone doing this or looking at stuff, and you just go, Lord, I'm going to spend that time with you. I'm going to know you deep. The greatest offense you could ever have as a dad is to walk with Jesus in a more intimate way. It'll be the way that the Spirit will have reign. And yet we spend so much time on other things. So recognize the lure. The third R is this, to reject worldly standards. And that sounds, here's the question I think that many of you are asking, and if we're just honest, we're asking this question, and we've got to battle this question. The question is, how can I get my kid ahead? Y'all feel that pressure? Some of y'all have, I was messing around with Phil. I said, Phil's got a 1-month-old. I go, man, we're going to answer all your questions today, buddy. Everything's going to be fine. Obviously, I'm being facetious when I say that. But it's funny. We live in a culture now where we start earlier and earlier with everything, don't we? So we're trying to figure out, hey, who's the tutor I need for that? We're thinking ACT at 4 years old. You know what I'm going? It's a little early. Okay, or we've got them on these select teams. Or we go, who's the tutor? Who's the coach? How can I get my kid ahead? What can I give them to make them a success? And don't buy the lie that you could give them anything more than your walk with Jesus and pointing them to where life is found. And yet we all say that, and then look where we spend our time and our investment. I've had to ask myself that many days. I can remember having conversations with my son, Braden, who was a pretty good basketball player. And I said, Braden, we could put you on a team that you're going to play, and you're going to be doing it every weekend, but we're not going to. Because there's far more important things than your basketball. And what we would say around our house, was just a really good saying, was, it's just basketball. It's just football. It's just your math class or whatever it is. And what we were doing there was trying to make sure they knew this is not where life is found. And we could say that one way and live another way. Our responses to their successes or their failures can teach them a lot. It sends a message. And so we've got to reject the world's standards. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. So 1 John chapter 2, let me read that to you. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Man, these set of verses have been, Lord has been working me over with these verses the last couple weeks. I've been meditating on them. I've been thinking about them. I read a commentary from Constable about this, and I love the way he kind of sums this up. He says, the lust of the flesh is the desire to do something apart from God. Okay, the lust of the eyes is the desire to have something apart from God. The pride of life is the desire to be something apart from God. And you know what? I've had to realize that when I really get honest about that, some of that's with my own kids. My desire is for them to have something, to be something apart from God. And I've had to wrestle with, man, my kid could have been a better basketball player if I would have scrapped some of the eternal things that we did, or some of the things we did with our church or a small group or all that kind of stuff. And I, you know what? I'm glad I didn't make that deal. Because my son would have been much worse off. He may have been able to dribble better and shoot better and that kind of thing. But man, his life would have been full of worldly stuff that was passing away. So here's three questions I want you to think about when you're in the middle of this with your kids. And it's coming. Some of you have young kids. You're going to be tempted. I really mean this. When they're young kids, they're going to be select teams that are going to come after you in sports. They're going to be this camp that you need to go to get them ahead for school. All that stuff is coming, and it's going to be a battle for you. And so here's three questions that I think will really help you battle this. One is this a window of time? And I want to encourage you, don't live for windows of time. I've done it. I've been there. I've paid your dumb tax on this one. It's not worth it, okay? And when you live for windows of time, what you realize, it reminded me of this. When I was in high school and college, I played college basketball at a small school, had some success with basketball in high school. And I remember all these trophies in my room, and they were all on the shelf, and I kind of look over there, look at all those trophies, man. I was this and this and this. And then what I realized later is those trophies, all of them end up in what was called a hefty trash bag, okay? And they were gathered up, and they were collecting dust in the attic. And think about that for your kids. Okay, if you invest all this time in stuff that is passing away, like that verse said, but the word of the Lord, those who do the will of the Lord abide forever. If you spend all your time on that, and that's your investment in your kids, and you're not talking about their walk with Jesus, and you're more concerned with that stuff, you're missing an opportunity to be about the eternal. And so is it a window of time is a great question. The next question I ask you is, what is the goal for my kids? And some of us need to confess this morning, well, my goal is that he would be a college athlete. That's what some of y'all want. I can confess that's my goal is that they would be the smartest kid in the class. My goal is that they would be the most popular. My goal is that that they'd have the cutest girl over there, whatever it is. And I just want to, you've got to think about that and talk about that. Angie and I had to spend time talking about, hey, wait a minute, what's the goal? And our goal was for them to know and walk with Jesus because it's the only thing that lasts. It's not a window of time. It's for eternity. If they walk with him, they're going to find life. He that hath the Son hath life. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it abundant. I want them to know Jesus. And what happens is I'm sending them a message. When we get so caught up in windows of time, so you've got to ask yourself, what's the goal? And you might go, man, I realize, man, my goal's been the wrong thing. And you need to confess that idol to the Lord and move on from there. The last question is this. Is this robbing me of my joy? Am I stressed out about this? Okay, and I've seen it in my own life. I can watch, even this weekend, I was watching one of my sons play. And I just, man, when I see bad play sometimes, it just makes me irritable. Okay, I'm just like, man, make a layup, you know, that kind of thing. And you know what? That sends a message to my kid, to my son. And last night, I was sitting with him and he was really discouraged. And I was just sitting with him and praying for him last night. And I thought, man, Lord, this is the privilege of being a dad. And what I got to do last night was just pray with him and remind him of God's truth and go, hey, it's just basketball. That stuff really doesn't matter. But I have to preach that to myself. My son, Braden, played high school ball here in town. And I remember for his games, this is confession, that when he would come to game day, I would be amped up. I'd be like, man, I'd be kind of anxious about it. Or I'd be ready. And I was going, this is amazing. I'm not even playing anymore. I'm well done with basketball. You trust me. And I can remember just feeling kind of amped up for the game. And it wasn't an amped up like, hey, I can't wait to see him. It was like, oh, man, I hope he's going to do okay. And I hope he did. And it was just too much. And I remember sitting with the Lord going, Lord, man, this is, and confessing to my community group and just saying, guys, this means way too much to me. And so I'm going to get on the offensive on this. And what I decided to do was, instead of, one thing I noticed about me at a game is I'd get so locked in on how Braden's doing that I didn't notice anybody around me. You may be that dad too. You watch your kid, like, don't bother me. I'm watching my kid play basketball. And we're so consumed with it. And all of a sudden it's like, no one matters but him and me. And I started thinking about that. I said, Lord, would you help me to start thinking about people around me at the game? Would you help me to look to get into spiritual conversations? Would you help me to be about eternal things at a basketball game? I know that's crazy that I would think about others in the middle while my boy's playing basketball. And that was really good for me, guys, because it took my mind off of all the glory that I wanted for my son and for us. And it started to make go, Lord, I want to be about your glory. I remember sharing with another dad that I was doing that. I started going, man, here's what I'm trying to do right now is I'm trying to think about, Lord, I'm trying to prepare spiritually for games that I might, the Lord may give me an opportunity to share Christ with somebody or to love somebody. I was looking for parents to encourage about their kids and not want something in return. It was just all a kind of an offensive move to go, Lord, help me with that. And I told this dad that and he goes, oh my gosh, I've never thought about that. And what that reminded me of is that's how our lives are supposed to look. Do y'all know that? First Peter tells us that we're to proclaim the excellencies of our Lord. We're to be alien and stranger-like. We're to look like this isn't our home. And yet what I was looking like was every other dad in there going, I'm consumed with my kid. I hope he does great. And I hope somebody comes and tells me how good he is. So wherever the Lord wants to work on you, this is part of how he has, and he still is, changing me. And I'm going, Lord, would you sanctify me through this? Would you make windows of time just be windows of time? Would you remind me they're going to end up in a hefty sack in the attic one day? What I didn't want to happen is when my son went off to college that I would be so let down that I can't, you know, be involved in that anymore. You know, because that's not all there is. And let me just say this to close. These things that our kids are involved with, if they are good academic, if they get honors or that kind of stuff, man, enjoy it. Just don't worship it. If they're good at sports, enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with them enjoying sports. Just don't worship it. And how you know if you're worshiping it is if it's consuming, if it causes you major stress, takes away your joy. Because that's what I was seeing in my life. And I said, Lord, I know that I'm preaching a message to my sons that this is where life is found. And here's the deal. I know this is a window of time and it's going to end. And so I don't want them to leave basketball and go, oh man, life. You see those shirts, basketball is life? It isn't. Okay? Or whatever your sport is that you're really into. Scripture doesn't say that's where life's found. So let me pray for you guys, and we're going to spend some time on the panel here. Father, thank you just for the privilege of being a dad. Thank you for the way that you, man, the pride of life, the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, those are just teed up for us. There's this seduction that the world wants to have us fall into. And Lord, I pray more than anything we would be about eternal things with our kids. We would point them to Jesus. We'd remind them where real life is found. And it's not found in all the awards and honors of this world. It's found in knowing the Savior and walking with him. And so I pray wherever you need to convict us, that Lord, we would be convicted. We would respond. We would let you prune us, as your word says, and make us more like Christ. We love you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Awesome, Bron. Thank you so much. Guys, there are so many layers to this conversation. And so I want us just to continue to talk about it and really think through. I wanted us to talk about this and show my hand a little bit more. I think that what Bron is sharing with us this morning is kind of the dark underbelly of things like Dad U. I shared that with the leaders earlier. Is that we get in rooms like this and we hear amazing dads. I mean, I'm sitting here, Bron, thinking, you know, listen to him share that story of, man, I sat on the couch and I prayed with my kids last night over that. And I'm tempted to go, man, I didn't do that with my kid last night. right? And there's a comparison that even in these moments. And so I wanted us just to kind of address what I think is kind of the elephant in the room sometimes on some of this stuff. And again, so many of the things that I've learned from Braun over the years and just that we've dialogued about. So I'm pumped. Just there's not enough time for us to talk about all the layers of this, but we're going to try. Let me introduce these other guys because I want you to hear from some of their perspectives and their experience as well. So Brad Galtney here in the middle. I think we've got a picture of your sweet family. So Brad and his wife, Katie, have been married for 11 years. They've got four kiddos, Ford, Vivi. Is it Vivi? Right? Sam and Daisy. And so there they are in all their glory. Love it. And so Brad and Katie are leading a foundation group here and have been around Watermark. Brad also serves in regeneration. So Brad is here. And then Eddie Bedrina and his wife, Rachel. So this is the normal picture that Eddie sent me. There's another picture, I think, Joe, that I don't know what's happening there. It's a great picture.
Do y'all know what that is? Royal Tenenbaums. There you go.
But Eddie and Rachel have been married 19 years. They've got three kiddos. Rory, who's 15, a freshman at Lake Highlands, and then Cole, who's 10, and Sophie, who's 6. And they serve all over the place around here. And so anyway, I'm excited for you guys to hear from them. Brad and Eddie, I'd love for, so Braun started off with just some of his confessions, and I'm curious what, Braun is in a stage of life that none of us, the rest of us on stage are in. So Brad, for you, as a guy with little kids at home, what are some of those confessions of where you find yourself getting trapped in the comparison game? And then Eddie, I'd love for you to share that as well.
Braun, I just want to start by thanking you for your wisdom and, since we're talking about comparison, I just wanted to mention that I did take my kids to Disney World.
Oh, great.
And I also took my wife to a steak dinner for our anniversary. Oh. So that automatically makes me a better dad and father than you. So I just want to point that out.
Thank you.
I don't remember the question. I'm just
see ya.
Yeah, that's good.
So for me, it's about not wrapping up my sense of self-worth in my kids' accomplishments or failures. Mm-hmm. And just realizing it's not about me. What my kids really need is for me to parent them the way God parents me. And he doesn't need my success or my failures, but he celebrates faithfulness and he disciplines disobedience. And he does it always with love and gentleness.
Yeah, that's good.
So as you saw, I have kids probably in each stage of life right now. And I can distinctly remember potty training and all that stuff. And I would tell you just as a confession, every year or every stage that my kids have been in, there's been an area of discontentment, an area of comparison, whether it's, let's be honest, guys, baby strollers and and kid carriers. I remember, anyone familiar with an Orbit stroller? Like, I remember thinking, I have to have that Orbit stroller. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I look back now, I'm like, that is the dumbest thing in the world. And then to potty training, I had to remind myself and my wife, like, hey, listen, it's all right that she's not potty trained yet, like the rest of her little cohorts. I've never seen a second grader still in diapers. It's gonna be fine. So every stage from then and all the way to high school, I'm always fighting comparisons, and it never ends. We will always compare. I don't know who said it. We're always going to compare. It's how we confess that, and then how we, how we fight that with the Spirit of just looking for a contentment in the Lord with both ourselves and our kids' faith.
Yeah, it's good. So I think one of the things I'd love for us to spend some time talking about is I think all of us enter into fatherhood the same way we enter into marriage and college and every other kind of stage of our lives with these dreams, and this is what it's going to look like. This is what it's going to be like. And I think parenting is no exception where we're going, man, I can't wait to do X with my kids. I can't wait until we have this experience together. I can't wait. And we have these dreams and aspirations. And then those children are actually born and they're actual people and they actually have their own minds and talents and giftings and limitations and all that. And so what are some of those expectations that maybe you guys have had of your kids that either you found yourself disappointed in, and how have you dealt with that, or potentially just ways that it has come to fruition and yet even that has fallen short or you've found empty. So, Bron, you want to take that?
Yeah, I think about Braden, my oldest son, and it is amazing how whenever you get caught up in any kind of success for your kids, there's always somebody better. I mean, there just always is. And so it's never going to be this. It's a bad place to find contentment. Braden had around him, he had the leading score in Pierce history as a senior when he was a sophomore. And then coming behind that, another guy came in and was now the leading scorer in 50 years of Pierce basketball or whatever. These were the two. And him, Braden was sandwiched in between these two amazing players. And I remember thinking one day just going, man, that was a gift to Braden. Because it allowed him to not be so caught up in it and wanted to be the man and being the guy. And so Braden was a 3-year starter and all these things and had a lot of success. But there's always something else to look at there. And so I remember a really important thing for Angie and I, like I talked about when I was sharing, was to just to have conversation, to talk out loud about, hey, what's our goal for him? And what's really going to happen if he does go play college basketball or whatever? What am I really wishing for him? And is that going to be the best for him? And so it was good for us just to process that and realize how fleeting it was and to keep that in the forefront of our minds.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, so I struggled a lot with this with my firstborn. Sports were a big part of my life growing up. And when I found out I was having a boy, you know, I was online Googling the local Little League when he was still in the womb. And funny story, a couple of years later, I realized that athletics may not be a big part of his life. And he got his mom his athletic ability. And so,
we'll edit that out.
I add permission to.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Oh, yeah, add permission.
Smart.
But, you know, he's just the kindest, wisest, most sensitive and creative boy. And in ways that I wish I was. And so I just learned to love the boy God made, not the boy that I had in my imagination. Mm-hmm.
That's really good, Brad.
So for me, my daughter, my firstborn, is not athletically inclined. My son is not athletically inclined. My six-year-old seems that way, so all my hopes and dreams are wrapped up in her. But when my son was born and I quickly realized he was not what I wanted him to be, I was talking with a buddy out in California, and he has a son with a high functioning autistic nature, and I remember us talking about it, and he said, Eddie, listen, I struggled a lot. I cried out to the Lord a lot of like, why did you give me this kid? This is not what I wanted. I wanted a totally healthy kid who could run and play basketball and baseball, which he can, but, you know, who's smart and just, you know, totally attentive. And he was sitting in the shower and just crying out to the Lord. And immediately it came back to him of, hey, this is not the son that you wanted. This is the son that you needed. And it was a reminder to me, and that story has stuck with me, and I apply that almost every day to my kiddos. When I look at them and I try to compare them either academically or athletically, I just think, man, God has given me my kids in part to make me holy, just like my marriage. And so I shouldn't be looking for my kids to fulfill my wants. I should be looking at my kids to like, hey, how is the Lord teaching me more about him, more about his nature through them and then through the way I parent them? So they're not the kids that I wanted. They're the kids that I needed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important for us to another friend in a similar situation who I've heard just say, look, at some point I had to put to death my idea of what my kids would be for the sake of loving the child that God gave me. And being grateful for, you know, all the things that God has done. I was sitting with Jim Wimberly, who was here last month, just last week, and him just talking about, you know, the difficult challenges he's had with one of his children and just saying, man, I thank God for that child. And then he listed off about 10 things that he's thankful that the Lord did and the gifts that the Lord gave him through that child that was not the child that he hoped she would be or he would be. And so I think for all of us, recognizing those idols in ourselves and then putting those things to death. You know, I think it's Tim Keller that said that an idol is any good thing that you make an ultimate thing. Mm-hmm. And so all the things that we're talking about are good things. Enjoying, I love, Brian, what you said there at the end, just enjoy your children, don't worship them, or enjoy what they do, don't worship it. Man, that's so important. And yet that line is so fine for us in that journey. And so, man, those are great words. I'd love for us just to talk a little bit about social media. Bron, you alluded to it. I do think that, and I love that visual of, I remember going to my grandparents' house and grandma pulling out the scrapbook and us all going, oh, this is going to be a long night, you know? And now it's like, that's what we do with our free time is we go and we look at everyone's scrapbook on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. And so, you know, what are some of the things, boundaries that you guys have put in place to help your heart in the midst of, hey, is this a struggle for envy? Am I looking at things and now comparing my family and our experience and whether it's vacations or how we spent our Friday night or whatever? What are some of the best practices that you guys have employed in your lives?
Yeah, I think on the side of when I am posting something on social media, one of the questions I'm asking is, who is this for? And there was a time when we would write notes to our wives and it was just to them and it wasn't to our 1,300 followers on Facebook so they can see how great a husband I am. And maybe for you, that's not a temptation. Maybe that's not a struggle. For me, that is. I mean, I want you to be impressed. And so I just have to confess that. And so when I, there was a time when we would have time with the Lord and we didn't have to post our quiet time, you know, on what we're doing with the Lord. We go, it's between me and the Lord. And sometimes that can be a real encouragement to people and it can be a great thing, but I know my heart as best I can, you know, before the Lord, I go, man, Lord, that's about me. And so would you help me on that side of things, on what I am sharing? Hey, is that about bringing glory to Christ? And is that about bringing glory to me? And so that on that side of things, that's the way I think on the, when I am posting.
Yeah, so the posting is really important. What about consuming for you guys and just kind of on the other end of that spectrum?
Yeah, so for me, one of my core struggles is anxiety. And I've noticed that when I spend a lot of time on social media, my anxiety just kind of skyrockets. And so I've really had to cut it pretty much out. You know, I'm still on Facebook. And, you know, when I get a notification that someone tagged me in a photo, I get on there. But short of that, I really try to keep it out because I just noticed for me, that triggers a lot of the comparison, and also it's just a time suck. It's just a waste that I could be doing a lot of other more beneficial things.
Yeah, it definitely feeds the comparison and fear of missing out in me. I like Bron. I think every time I post, I really think, okay, who am I trying to impress? Like, let's just be honest with myself. Like, who am I trying to impress? Is it something really worth impressing on? Like, what's the point? When it comes to my kids, I just think with the end in mind. And knowing, I don't know how many of you had MySpace accounts, but let's be honest, guys. Like, is that still a thing? Yeah, Friendster. These things are going to be gone in 5 years. And you're going to have spent so much time and effort posting into these things and kind of putting these scrapbooks out there. And these scrapbooks are going to end up in the wasteland of the internet. Why? What's the point? So I really have to think. I mean, I was on a trip this past weekend, and there are all these things I could have posted because it's just a beautiful place. I was with friends that I love. I was just kind of like, you know what? I don't need to. Like, I want to enjoy this moment. I want to be present. I don't need to impress anyone. And then just being on social, I run a digital ad agency. Like, that's my job. And it's horrible. And I question it a lot. I have to be on there, and I find myself pushing myself more and more away from social. If I didn't have to run any ads, I wouldn't be on Facebook. And I've actually been slowly deleting it. You know, I don't know if you see, you know, Facebook brings back old memories, like these memory posts. Every time I see one of those, I actually click on it and I delete it. I do. And And it's just because I want to decrease my presence on the internet, because really at the end of the day, what's it for?
So I'm going to ask you guys a question I did not cue you up for, but it was just, so there you go. So
thanks.
I'm gonna
thanks,
throw
Wes.
One at you. But I think what's really important in this, or one of the really important elements of this conversation, is the balance of, hey, I'm striving for faithfulness. Brad, I think you mentioned that earlier. Like, hey, my goal is faithfulness. And yet there's a unique way in which God has called me to be faithful. That doesn't necessarily, like, my faithfulness won't look like bronze in all areas. Now, there are things about bronze faithfulness that I do want to imitate as he's imitating Christ, and I want to follow. And so I'm just curious what you guys would say. What's that balance of, in a place like Dad U, or sitting at these tables as we'll have conversations, and I might hear Adam Hammett share a great little nugget, and yet there's something about what Adam does with his kids that's the way that God's wired him and gifted him and the interest that he's given him.
Yeah.
So kind of a silly example might be, you know, I think about in our community group, we have one guy who loves the outdoors, loves camping, and we have the opposite end of that spectrum in our community group. And it can be, if we're not careful, the guy on this end of the spectrum can be like, man, I'm a terrible dad and I'm a failure because I don't take my kids camping. So how do we balance being faithful to the Lord and yet recognizing, look, I'm a unique individual. I'm not Todd Wagner. I'm not Bron Brown. I'm not my table leader at Dad U. So yeah. Thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think you got to look at the heart of this, of the, what we're talking about, and go, man, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, I want to use the gifts and the way you've wired me to invest. And so it's less about, did you check this box, and this box? Are you being intentional with your kids? Are you, and camping, thank goodness, camping's, oh man, I think I've been once, and that was plenty. But I want you to think about what I would encourage you with is, hey, Lord, what is a way that I can be intentional with my kids? How can I invest in them? How can I let them know that I love them? How can I spend time with them? And you guys know this, your kids are different. And so, like, my three boys could not be more different from each other. And so there's ways that I connect with them in different ways. But man, we could sit there and be, if we haven't, you know, if you hear John McGee talk about it, he's taking his kids to every ballpark, and you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't been to every baseball park. But what you need to hear from that is John's making memories. John is being intentional. He's investing in his kids. Don't try to emulate all that he did. Emulate the heart of what he's doing and figure out what that is for your family.
That's good.
Yeah, I would say, everyone, God has given everyone different gifts and interests. And just like when you give your kids gifts at Christmas, if you have multiple kids, like, you don't necessarily, it kind of causes havoc if that kid wants that other kid's gift, right? You gave that kid the gift for a specific reason because it's in their interest and you want them to enjoy it fully. And so as we look at our kids, Rach and I have to constantly think, more me than Rach, because she's way more empathetic than I am, but think, hey, what gifts has God given that kiddo? And then how can I join him in there and help develop that? And we talk a lot about excellence in here at Watermark, but it's excellence in input, not in outcome. And so I want to make sure I'm being excellent in how I'm being intentional and how I'm looking and perceiving and developing those gifts that God has given my child, be excellent in that and not be so worried about what that produces.
Yeah, so this question is pretty fresh for me, actually. We made a deal with our kids that if they memorize the what it means to be God's man Bible verses, we do this big family celebration. It's kind of a big deal in our house. And our older two kids, they did it pretty easily. I mean, they memorized it quickly, and it was really fun. And honestly, I took a lot of pride in that. And our third, he just cannot memorize to save his life. And I've been so frustrated. And I've spent 10 times more time with him trying to get him to memorize this stuff. And my wife finally, you know, just a week or two ago, turned to me and she said, you know, what's our goal here? Is our goal just to have him memorize these verses just so he can cram it down his throat? Or is our goal for him to be like Christ? And so for me, that was first was humbling, because I realized that, again, it's not about me. but secondly, just each kid is unique. And so what do I need to do with each one of my kids to disciple them to be like Christ? And that is the only thing I need to really concern myself with, not checking some box or accomplishing some goal.
So good. Well, we want to give you a chance just to talk about this at your table and just kind of unpack some of what your thoughts are and what these struggles look like for you. And so we want to do that right now. Will you thank these guys for me real quick?